Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm your host, Nikki E. Taylor, and you're listening to episode 8 with Clarel.
Thank you. Wow, that's some good summer vibes. What do you think do you get drawn to in people?
In people?
I mean, unless I'm massively misinterpreting that song.
No. Well, I guess, I mean, like the song says, you know, it's about how they make you feel, right? Mm-hmm. More so than anything else. I mean, besides that, people come in all shape, size, and color, so like, there's different things, you know. But I think at the end, when it comes down to it, it's really all about how you feel around this specific person or group of people, you know. And you gotta react to that, you know. Obviously, shared interests and things like that are important as well, but like, yeah, it's more about, like, if you're in a company of people that make you feel either too self-conscious or that just make you feel comfortable in any way, or where hanging out with them is some kind of chore, you're not going to want to kind of be around them. But people that just make you feel at ease and comfortable, I think, are the kind of people you tend to gravitate towards, you know, if you have a choice, if you have a say in it. So I think that's what the song is trying to encapsulate. It's like, obviously, looks and things like that are like, I mean, looks are looks, you know, different people have different things, like either triggers or deal breakers or things like that. But at the end of the day, like, the people that make you feel good in some ways, you know, it could be because like, they could build you up, because like around them you just feel like super inspired, feel driven to do certain things, you know. That's the kind of people you want to gravitate towards. So, I mean, in this case, obviously, the song has kind of, like, for the song, I just kind of, like, made it fit in this a very romantic kind of shoebox. I mean, it fits the song, it fits the vibe and everything, but I think that's just true of, like, just people in general. You want to gravitate towards the people that make you feel good, and you want to stay away from the people that just make you feel not good, you know?
Not everyone.
What does it feel good? Like, I mean, some people push you, you know, some people
Like teachers or something. We're very hedonistic generally in terms of like our natural like ways of dealing with the world is that like what makes you feel good, you want to do more of, what makes
When I say feel good, you know, I'm not just meaning it in a sense of just pleasure, you know. It's not just that. Just when I say feel good, like, feel good to mean like someone that, like, you know, when you hang out with them, it's like, oh damn, like, I need to get XYZ together, you know, like, I need to get my shit together, because like, you know, like, maybe the kind of like, maybe that person kind of like drives you by their actions or by their words, kind of like, okay, like, I gotta take care of this, I gotta take care of that. That's what I mean by feel good. It's like, so it's not necessarily feel good, like just an immediate sensation of pleasure. But like just people that like just make you grow, you know, push you to grow in a constructive manner. You know, I'm not talking about someone that just like makes you feel bad. Let's say maybe like, for instance, you're overweight and you have people that just kind of always make fun of you. You know what I mean? It's one thing to have someone that just makes fun of you because of your weight. It's one thing to have just a friend that's like, oh man, you need to get that shit together. Like, you can't just carry on like that, man. You can't be out here just like eating junk food and like not exercising, you know. There's a measure of like maybe straight talk, you know, like, and just like tough love, that's what you like to call it. That's what I mean by feel good, you know, like when you, yeah. The way you make me feel, I mean, yeah, the song doesn't even necessarily say feel good, but like,
someone who supports you to be the best version of yourself.
Exactly, you know, yeah. That's it. And because I mean, really, when you think about teachers and mentors and people like that, like, those are people that understand that maybe in the process of like helping you grow to achieve a certain level or achieve certain things, like, maybe you have to undergo some kind of like discomfort and pain, you know, just as part of like either training or whatever, you know. And they're willing to like walk that road with you and just like be there every step of the way and just not, you know. So that's a very good thing, you know, if you have people like that in your life, that you're like, very blessed to have that, you know. Now, in the song, obviously, like, the song is definitely more in the context of, like, you know, just like a romantic kind of vibe, you know, that's just kind of where the words kind of fall sometimes, but, what I like about that chorus is that expressing that, which I think is, like, yeah, it's the way people, you know, it's more important how people make you feel, it's more important than how they look, you know, most ways, you know. It's more about like, how do I feel when I'm around this person? Do I feel shitty? Do I just feel negative about everything? Did you just bring an aura of like negativity about everything? Or like, do you walk out of there with like a resolve to kind of like make X, Y, Z better, or like work on X, Y, Z, or like just, do they make you aware that there's a greater realm of like just life available that you could access to if only you did this or that? So that's kind of where that
came from. Adds to your life.
That was playing with.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sound.
It is. Keeps on giving.
It does, it does. Yeah, like, it's something that is very, like, I find that genre of music is incredibly versatile and broadly appealing. You know, like, there's a lot of music that is really awesome and great, but like for very specific circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find like there's never a bad time for like.
Do well.
Yeah.
Right. That was fit. And obviously, like a lot of like, I mean, if I think about the ones, the songs in that genre that I know, you know, a lot of them deal also with like love and romance. And sometimes it's like sad. It's like, oh, you left me, and I feel so bad about you leaving. Or like, you know, sometimes it's more like this one is more about, oh wow, like what is this great feeling that I have, you know? And yeah, no, if, yeah, I'm kind of like been trying to play around with it. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm gonna keep kind of like exploring kind of like different things you can say with that movie, but you know, the different kind of messages you can pass on.
There's a genre of music that you will probably never do that would be like so opposite from what you normally do.
I mean, I'm not gonna say never.
Or that maybe you'd like to do, but like probably is not your like thing.
I mean, if I like to do it, then I think I would find a way. You know, if it's not something that I can personally write, I might get like in touch with people who can. But like, I mean, in general. I mean, generally, just as a singer, I try and stay away from anything that's not that melodic, you know? Like, that just, like, melodic, not interesting, because, you know, I just don't have the throat for, you know, just, like, something that's not melodic, that's more, like, maybe, like, other people have better voices for, like, you know, hard-driven metal, that kind of thing. You know? When I say metal, I mean, with the knowledge that metal is sometimes very melodic, you know, which is great, you know? And I'm saying, yeah, so it's not necessarily a specific genre, but like music that doesn't just have a melody. Like for me, I'm just that kind of person. Like I need, even when I listen to music, I need some kind of thing to hook onto. So like, as much as abstractness is great, like it can be too, it can be so abstract that I don't really know what's, you know, what's going on. At least that's how I feel right now, you know. It's like I need some kind of melody to latch onto. If I don't have that as a singer, then that's just very little else to kind of latch on to.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you try to be less likely to engage in that kind of music personally. Yeah.
Wow. You got a melody we can latch on to.
Oh wow. Okay, let's see. I think I have one. Well, yeah, for sure. Thank you. Mission need to travel far. Be a silent expanse in your by. And if you think the rapping looks tight, wait till you see what's inside.
Just
like physically great, you know, it's just such a nice release. It feels like, yeah, that's it. It's just, it feels like a nice release. It feels like getting something off your chest in a way, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. It really allows me to get to like a nice place when I'm playing it. It's like, yeah, it feels very good. Yeah.
Did you write it about something in particular?
I mean, when I think about, I think the theme, well, I guess it was some kind of commentary on the, I think at the time I started writing the song, at least the words, because the melody had come earlier, like that kind of motif, but the song, I think I kind of like started experimenting with like online dating apps and things like that, you know, and just like, so maybe
what
that's where
online
some,
dating app do you use the most?
I mean, I guess Tinder, that would have been the main one. Like, I've seen kind of like, I don't really use those anymore, but like, that was my first encounter and my first experience with it. And like, I guess that mid-market analogy kind of goes with that, you know, it's just kind
yeah.
of like, you know. And I mean, like, I don't think I meant it as any, I don't think it's derogatory or anything, it's just more of an observation of how things are working right now, you know. Although I mean, it's just a section. It's just a portion of life. Like, just that's how.
Well, it's
that
very
works.
Visually based, right? It's just
yeah,
like that's
yeah,
your
yeah,
picture,
yeah.
and that's all you really go for.
Yeah,
go
pretty
on,
much.
You know?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
like
you can go that and then
the
text, and yeah, and I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not again. I'm not knocking it. You know, that's good for some people. It's like a great way for to meet. I know people that got married. You know, and not on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's a very good thing. You know, so it was just more of my. Like, yeah, it was just like an observation on that, you know, and that's, and for me, I know I got a song when, like, after having figured out, because sometimes when you get a melody, you know, you have some words that just naturally kind of fit in there, and so when you have a theme that also kind of like fits very nicely in there, like then it's kind of nice, perfect marriage, and you have a song at that point. So I think that's kind of what happened with this one. So yeah, it wasn't necessarily any like specific experience that I may have had, but like it was just kind of the whole process of like, you know, just yeah, like that new take on like how like dating or like more interpersonal relationships work in today's age, where it's more the life you can choose, really, you know. It's like, you know, I mean, maybe calling it a mid-market is a bit of a like an oversimplification. I mean, I'm sure it gets a bit more solid than that. With that said, you know, like it's an acknowledgement that as human beings we are very sensitive to what the visual, you know, like the physical things we can see. Yeah,
I found like I didn't really have much success with Tinder in terms of meeting people and like having that work out. But I found it really interesting in terms of like using it as a tool to understand my own sense of attraction to other people and like what I look for.
Like, okay, what are the kind of things like looking down the matches and seeing the kind of like trends and things like that?
Like, when I swipe right, it's these people. These are the things I'm picking up on, and that's what I'm looking for. And I found that it was like a really helpful tool for myself in terms of like just understanding my own sense of attraction. Like, when people ask me what I'm looking for, I would actually have a better sense of what to tell them.
Which is, I think it's great. You know, I think for me, my first thing with that is that it's just so, well, I mean, you can communicate so much by text, right? And you can give as much as you can through that means, and then eventually maybe you take the conversation offline, you know. I think I find that I myself am definitely more like, hey, it was just a lot of, you know, it's very time consuming, just like screening like this, you know. You know, as much as because, like, yeah, you just obviously you're gonna see a lot of really cool people doing a lot of really cool things, being like all kinds of like, you know. So, having experienced that, it's just more fun and more natural to just like do it in real life, you know, where it's not, you don't feel like you're following some kind of script or some kind of like, okay, am I gonna say the right things or not, you know. At least I figure like when people meet you in real life, like, and they start, they have a conversation with you, they know right away what it is they like about you, what it is they don't like, and like you can settle it right there, you know. Like, you don't have to have that extra step of like texting and like trying to like analyze that.
Oh, because it can be really misleading. Like, I found that dating online, like, I will have great conversations online and then I'll meet them in person and be like, oh no, I'm not.
It's a different kind of
remotely attractive.
Well, yeah, no, it can happen. And I think, you know, it can happen. But I think when, like, if you're the kind of person that just, like, you know exactly what you want, and you know not only that, but you also exactly what you're bringing and, like, what you are willing to bring to that kind of thing, you know, I think it's great. Like, I think for people that just know exactly what they're looking, you know, and that are not as much involved in that, just like the hookup culture, like people that just go in there with a specific mission, then you're more likely to know right away, because then you can be open about that. And like, if you meet someone that is kind of similar, then there's a potential connection there. So I do believe they have their place, you know, especially in a world that's getting, you know, there's only going to be more and more and more of us, you know. So like, you know, I guess if we have a way to kind of like cut down the time we can spend on that, like, it's a good thing overall, I think.
Do you feel you have a clear picture of what your like ideal mate would be?
Not really, no, because I don't think. I think physically, like, I don't think I have a specific type or anything like that. So that was it, you know. And that's why, because like then it just ends up in just very casual conversation, just kind of trying to find out each other's interests. But I find that, I mean, outside of, you know, like I there's things that I have to do during the day. There's like a real life that I live, you know, like, and there's like actual tasks that I'm engaged in, you know. And so like, I was just struggling with the notion. I mean, I love wasting time. That's one of my favorite things to do. But like,
what's your favorite way of wasting time?
Doing absolutely nothing. Like going on the internet and just like, whoa. Like, I mean, is it really time wasted though? Because like, I mean, watching movies and stuff
like that. Like wasted with quotes. Like wasted in terms of maybe like honestly, not being productive in the capitalist sense of
productive. I mean, which, like, I'm usually, you know, I'm not one of those people that need to be doing something. Mm-hmm. You know, I love not having anything to do. Like, on a day like this, I could be walking, like, going down, like, the park down there, like, by the water, just walking around, you know, just, like, going to get some ice cream, just hanging out, just, yeah, literally... yeah, not like reading, you know, there's things like that I like to do, that I like to fill my time with, you know.
Are you reading anything right now?
Right now, well, I started, so recently I finished on the recommendation of a good friend of mine. I started reading What I Talk About When I Talk About Running by Haruki Murakami, and it was a very interesting book. He's a very interesting character, like, he's an author, you know, and I recently started his Norwegian Wood book. I guess it's named after the Beatles song. I just like his style. You know, it's very, you know, it's very kind of like straightforward, but still interesting. You know, and I really enjoyed, because the book of What I Talk About When I Talk About Running is him talking about basically literally him being, because on top of being like a critically acclaimed author, like world-renowned author, he's also like a serial marathon runner, and like he does triathlon as well. And
it's tough.
but he's really talking about like the mental processes, the discipline behind it, and just like, you know, it talks a lot about like just like welcoming pain into your life as a way to really push yourself to growth, which I think has ended, like, for anyone who's engaged in a creative pursuit or even anything else, really, like, that's something, you know, like that you can resonate with, and all, it's an approach that you can learn from. Yeah, I'm a chronic time waster. I just like, I mean, as much as I can, you know, there's obviously real life and real life and all that it brings, but time wasting is something I take very seriously. You know, it's not just like
it's like between 4 and 8 p.m. I've got some serious time.
Well,
wasting.
You know, time wasting is wasting, because when waste obviously is in relation to some kind of like productive item that you have to hit, you know, again, like, especially as an artist and as a musician, like, you know, as a songwriter, like, your songs are filled up with like your experiences of life, you know, like, unless you allow yourself to experience some life, like, I believe personally, you're like, songwriting output will be lacking in just that, you know, like, because you just don't have anything to connect with, because, and I know personally, I've just not someone who's been driven by, I've never been driven by a desire to, like, have to, like, build some kind of big thing, like a big mountain or anything, you know, like, with the music, like, there's a drive to kind of, like, create the best all that I can, and, like, to get out what, like, I have, like, my artistic intents and my artistic messages out, and to just like share that, and to just like take it out, and there's work involved, you know, like you pointed it out earlier, like people don't realize that the amount of time and effort that goes into creating a song, creating a record on top of that, like going from a song, you know, like the EP that I was talking about, you know, some of those songs were written like over 2 years ago, you know, but just like creating and crafting that, you know, it takes, you know, like, I know even the term work has been kind of bizarre, because I've you know, come to associate it with just like just drudgery, like just kind of like mindlessly throwing into something that has no like real point, you know. But if you're talking about a record, no, it's about like spending the time that you have to make sure that like your vision is represented accurately, to make sure that you're putting out, you know, the best product that you can, like the most representative product that you can. And it applies also to even a live stage and things like that, like live performance and all that. It's just about like not being afraid to put in like the time to make sure that it's as good as it can be, you know. And then that's a purpose, because then like when people react to what you're doing, then you can like look at them and say, okay, this was worth it because it touched people in that way. That's something I can get behind, you know. But otherwise, just, I mean, but then again, I mean, I can say those things as like as a single childless person, you know. Obviously, like different people, you have different priorities in life, and because of that, you have to do different things. So that's normal. But but for me, I know like that's for like it's not a driver for me to have like a to just build something just for nothing, it has to be a real, like the why has to be clearly visible, and I have to be able to feel it, you know, I have to be able to know what it is, yeah. I mean, that's how I operate. So yeah. But part of what's, and that's why I'm so grateful that I'm able to have, like, to do this, like, to speak to one song, because, you know, you basically, like, you feed off of the life that you live, you know, you're not just gonna, it's not about, like, you locking yourself into, I mean, there's a time for that, for just, like, zoning in and locking in and, like, focusing, you know, but there's a time also for just, like, curating the experience that you have and just making sure that you have something to bring to the project that you're working on. So, but yeah.
More songs.
Oh, man. Yeah, more songs. Let's see.
Bring us a curated song that is important. Anyway, that's a tall order. And confidence that you will fulfill it.
Don't wanna do the lonely dance tonight.
Oh, that was so much fun.
It's fun.
I I love it. Every time I hear you play, I just want to like sing along. And it's just, it's so fun to get into the lovely world, the world that you bring.
Thank you.
That's a big compliment.
But yeah, so.
Is that one on the EP?
That one is on EP. Good. Yes, yes. The last two are on the EP. Yes. So, yeah, it's kind of nice. And it's not super complicated. You know, it's just a nice little almost stream of consciousness.
Songs. Yeah. I feel like I associate that song, maybe because of the first time I heard it was late at night. And I feel like it's kind of, you know, late at night at the bar, and you're just kind of like,
pretty much. It's like, it's like the last hour, like the 2 a.m. kind of realizations. So I kind of like trying to assume that kind of character, or that, you know, that character that's like. I had the melody before I had the words for this one, and like once I had the chorus, then like the verses kind of like came together after that, kind of made sense what was going to be said in the verses. But yeah, no, I think it's something, again, it's one of those things, like, maybe not everybody like expresses it in that way or that often, but like I feel like it's something that probably all of us have felt at some point.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the amount of times that I've been late night at a bar thinking,
well, you know.
Feeling lonely.
Don't want to do that. Yeah. So every now and then. But it's definitely more of a drunken, because I feel like that's probably not something that someone who's sober is going to just like go out and maybe think, but then I'll go out and just say it, you know. But yeah. And yeah, no, I just wanted to have fun with that kind of like high life-y kind of vibe. You know, a lot of the music that I like, that I listen to, is in that vein, you know, island-ish. And I was trying to have fun with that too. So. That's kind of how that one came about.
It's beautiful. Is that also a recent one?
It's last year, I want to say. Okay. Yeah, it's a bit low, it's a bit older. Yeah. You know,
what were you doing last year? What was your frame of mind last year when you were writing it?
You tell me, man. Like, that was so long ago. But, no, I don't know, man. Because, like, you know, I think... because as I mentioned earlier, like a lot of my process is just like, I just have a lot of like little like memos of like different bits of melodies and like sometimes lyrical ideas, you know, and sometimes I just like to, like a big part of my songwriting process is just kind of organizing those ideas into actual songs, you know, so sometimes I just take something, jamming with something for a little bit, playing around with it, you know, trying to see where else it can go melodically, where else it can go lyrically. And I think, yeah, last year that was just me kind of jamming that out, you know. I wasn't necessarily in that state of mind, you know, because I really, really, really enjoy my own time as well, you know, like, you know. But at the same time, you know, I just felt like, you know, that's just something that I know that I felt at times sometimes, you know, and like, and I think other people feel that way too sometimes. And I think even the way the song is written, you know, it's just very, like, there's very little sophistication to it. And I think that's kind of like trying to align with just that fact that sometimes, you know, because I feel like in the course of just our human experiences, we just work a lot to disguise and to just mask and to just conceal all the very basic ways in which we're all human, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, just those very basic human, like, either, I don't know, impulses of wants or needs just, like, come out in the most, like, unadulterated ways, you know, it just blurs out. And even though, like, society teaches us ways to just be very covert and, like, not, and overt about it. So I feel like this song is kind of like an anti-thesis to that. Like, this is just someone not being, like, very coy about the fact that, you know,
like, this is what I feel.
That's it, pretty much, you know. And like, and you know, that's something, because I noticed, like, in a lot of the songs that I write, you know, like, yeah, subtlety is not necessarily like the thing at the forefront, you know. So like, that's something I like, you know, I noticed, like, in a lot of my songs, in because sometimes, I mean, because I guess part of what, as a society, in popular music, part of what we like and respect in music, and like, it's just subtlety, and like sometimes it's like being able to dress things up well with words, and it's a huge, like, that's a great like skill to have, you know. And so like I remember like feeling kind of like two ways about just like writing something that's just like so blatant and so, you know, because it's not, you know, even in my just like my nature personally, you know, like I'm not someone that likes to be that kind of like over it about certain things. And so I mean it's just not, maybe it's more like of a cultural thing, you know, the culture, like my, the people I come from, like the, in the west of Cameroon, you know, there's even in our dialect, you know, like we use expressions to describe certain situations, mm-hmm. because you don't want to describe things in too crude or too direct or too raw of a way, you know. Mm-hmm. So definitely to write or to sing something that's so like straightforward is, there was definitely a bit of a dissonance there for me, you know. But no, I feel like it's part of like just experiencing, just like, yeah. And I mean, a lot of the times when people have like have heard me play somewhere, like some of the reactions usually are something to the effect of, you know, we just like how it just seems so honest and so, well, so real, like so just, you know, it's direct, like there's no, like, mm-hmm. but no bells and whistles, you know, especially mm-hmm. if I'm playing acoustic like this, it's like, you get it 100% the same way it's given out, you know, there's mm-hmm. no layer of, like, obfuscation or no layer of complication. So yeah, that's why this one is kind of, to me, it's kind of, like, interesting to play because of all those reasons, you know. And, yeah, it's just interesting, like, the ways in which sometimes, like, the music you make is not necessarily in line with, like, what you are as a person, like, or just, like, your general characteristics of a person. And just, yeah, I think I'm still kind of learning to, like, just wear that kind of mantle or that kind of, like, costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you find it generally hard as a result of, like, your cultural background and how you grew up, do you find it difficult because of that to really relate in a very direct, raw way without all these other sort of like stories and abstractness?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put it all just on the culture. I think it's probably also maybe just how I am as a person, you know, just not like the kind of person that's super like, you know, I don't walk around talking about like my feelings.
Trying real hard to get you to say some juicy gossip and you have revealed nothing.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's not even, like, this is not even me trying to like, conceal anything. I'm just, like, I'm just not, like, you know, that's just not in my nature at all, you know, and, like, and I guess music is just one outlet for that kind of thing, but, yeah, it's, yeah. But that's the thing, it's like sometimes you sit down with a guitar and you like have fun with it and like you come up with something and it's like, oh yeah, I mean, I don't know if I ever say this in real life, but like, you know, this sounds good, you know, like, and then you just kind of, but I feel like maybe that's part of what music does for us, right? It kind of helps us kind of like tap into like those things that we won't even admit to ourselves or like mm-hmm. tell ourselves, and just helps bring that to the forefront, you know, which I think is cool.
Absolutely. I find, like, so often I will write music where I don't even know what it means until I've done it a few times. Yeah. And then I start thinking, oh, that's where that came from. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm actually thinking. That's what I'm actually feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's mind-blowing sometimes that you can access these things that are so basic to yourself, but that are so hidden from yourself.
Yeah.
And you can access that through music, which I think is a really cool tool.
Yeah, man. So it's really, that's part of what kind of makes it kind of like fun and exciting, I guess. Mm-hmm. And interesting, too.
Absolutely. I think this is a natural end.
There's
some sirens going off in the background.
Oh yeah.
Fun.
Nature claims its territory. All right.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of
this. Honestly, thank you for setting it up. It was a lot of fun. You know, mojitos were excellent.
I make a mean mojito.
And you heard it here first. And that's the truth, Ruth. Nikki does make a mean mojito, so
yeah,
I don't know who you got coming up next, but they should definitely like.
I got Frisco coming up next.
Well, that's it for episode 8 with Clarel. Tune in next week for episode 9 with Frisco Lee on Unknown Artist.